Tell us more about the food bank and continue leading our time of worship together. Just going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Thank you.
Ping pong this morning, you're going to be looking at me for a time, then you can look up to Val when it's her turn. But thanks for inviting us this morning. But we're going to do it in two parts. First of all, we're going to do actual thanksgiving for harvest. We're going to come in later on with the Oldham Food Bank. But to start off with, we've got this book called Hope for Harvest, which is really, really good. Do you want closer, is that all right? So what we want to share with you is all and everything that God has given us is God-given. We have nothing ourselves. So everything in this world that we have and are is given to us by God. We should go to him with thanksgiving, not just for the harvest, nor for the season of harvest, but all the time. We have gathered some thoughts together and ideas from the Hope book, which I've just shown you, and together with our own, which we felt spoke to us about the festival of harvest, and in a broad way, maybe challenging the way. In Genesis 8:2, God says, after Noah and the ark, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So we're going to pick different bits from this book that we feel is suitable. So we're going to go through the topics of So Why Harvest, a theology of harvest, thanksgiving as a lifestyle, for all that has been, the changing harvest, and then we're going to go on to, Val's going to give a testimony, and finally we will then go on to the Oldham Food Bank and give you what we hope will be some astounding information.
The Hebrew word for festival means designated time. So festivals were a time designated to God. They are to tell us when we can move forward with life and when we are to stop, to redirect our thoughts towards the eternal and provide a focus to celebrate. Thank and embrace God's annual calendar. Festivals played a part in every aspect of Jewish life. Colossians talks about festivals and says these things are like a shadow of what is to come. But what is true and real has come, and it's found in Christ. By the time of Jesus' coming, festivals have become so corrupt and twisted that they were stumbling blocks for the people. They have become barriers. But Jesus took what had been corrupted and made it new. In Colossians, Paul writes, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Harvest as a season of thankfulness is a holy invitation to reevaluate and reorientate our values. Festivals were always seen as times of spiritual renewal, and we are invited to draw near and to be reshaped so that we can be a light to those around us. Harvest provides us with a great opportunity to make precisely that statement.
The theology of harvest. In Scripture, an abundance of food, the mark of a bumper harvest, is a cause for rejoicing and celebration, expressed in thanks to God with feasting and fellowship, as in 2 Chronicles and Zechariah 8. A shortage of food, caused by the failure of the crops, served as a reminder of our dependency on God. The consequences of God's people defying him and going against his will, as in Deuteronomy 8, 11-20. Unfortunately, today, these latter consequences are too often suffered by the vulnerable poor, whilst the guilty party, those who both profligate and are prosperous, continue to follow their destructive path. It is easy for us to see creation as a source of wealth, there for us to exploit to our own ends, instead of appreciating that we too are part of the creation. We can believe that the harvest is achieved through human knowledge, skill and effort imposed by the dominant and superior part of creation and all other parts, rather than acknowledgement that the harvest is the result of us working in partnership with God, in tune with the rest of creation, and as stewards under God's authority. Rather than rejoice and give thanks for the abundance of the food, many use it as an excuse for gluttony and obesity, often with little thoughts for nature or history of what's being eaten or its value. The attitude of the world in Deuteronomy is which the giver and the gift of the harvest were ignored. Similarly, the scriptural imperative to provide food and hospitality for those less fortunate can be conveniently forgotten. Ezekiel 34 is frequently interpreted in terms of a prophetic condemnation of the religious elite who ignored the spiritual needs of the people. But the prophet's words can easily be applied to those who, having plenty of food, gorge themselves while ignoring the plight of the billion of children and adults who grow hungry.
As a lifestyle. Although Harvest Festival is an annual treat, giving thanks or living in a continual state of thankfulness no matter what is meant to be the way of life for Christians. Thanksgiving is simply a way of our giving thanks to God through our actions. It is an outward expression of inner gratitude. Feelings of gratitude can be expressed in many different ways, all of which are equally valued. Acceptable gratitude is simply that which is expressed with a grateful heart. Either in good times or bad times, looking inward on God's goodness should fill our hearts with gratitude. Life is a gift, so we should acknowledge that even our very next breath is something we should all be thankful for. As we celebrate harvest season through thankfulness and generosity, perhaps it's worthwhile reminding ourselves why we must give thanks, and also to live a life of gratitude to God.
Excuse me. Swedish diplomat Dag Hammarskjöld, who lived his life to the full as a politician and a peacemaker, eventually became the Secretary General of the United Nations in the 50s and early 60s. Alongside, he followed Jesus faithfully, writing down his spiritual journey in a book called Markings that was published after he died. His book is full of striking thoughts and phrases, but one that stands out is very simple. For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. I'll say that one again. For all that has been, thanks. For all that will be, yes. Hammarskjöld had a full, active, complicated life. He needed courage and strength. In the end, he was killed in Africa while on a peacekeeping mission. He received the Nobel Peace Prize after his death. It was a life full of achievement and struggle. But what kept him going patiently, working and praying for peace, was his sense of thanksgiving. He saw the world and the beauty of it as a gift from God, but he also saw the difficulties and challenge of his work as a gift, and he was grateful for the chance to make a difference. In the light of the thanksgiving, he could say yes to whatever God brought him for the future. A life rooted in thanksgiving is a life that can say yes to whatever God brings. This is why harvest thanksgiving is spiritually so important. It's too easy to take our food and warmth and wealth for granted. If we do, we'll be resentful and defensive if our comfort is shaken. But if we thank God for what we have, then we free ourselves from slavery to it. It's God's, and he has given it to us. As with harvest, and so with all our life, lightness and courage come from we say thank you.
Of a farmer in Preston called Paul. I remember an autumn time when I was younger. I can nearly smell it. I remember it starts early, the rising sun, lemonade, jam sandwiches and Kit Kats. I stood with my dad on top of a large stack of straw bales on a trailer moving down the fields of the farm. Bales were being thrown up by farmhands, family, friends, and anybody else available. Harvest was a defined time. It had parameters and boundaries. There was a start and there was a finish. Now harvest time has changed. Farms are mechanised and computerised. They have more crops with all year harvesting and seasons that drift into one another. The world has got faster and faster, and it appears we can do nothing about it. Sounds familiar? Especially in these current times of uncertainty, life doesn't always feel defined. This isn't just farming, but it is a reflection of the world in which we now live. Currency buys us less. Pension funds grow smaller. Jobs are not for life, though sometimes they feel like a life sentence. There is chaos in our streets, and the finish line for retirement has moved. People still live in poverty. Slavery still exists today. Wars still continue. Earthquakes and natural disasters seem commonplace. When I focus on the awful things in the world, I find it difficult to be thankful to God and generous to others. So when I get overwhelmed, I go for walks in the Dyack District and read Psalm 23 and look at what God has entrusted to me. Land, property, crops, machinery, and my relationships with my farmhands, customers, suppliers, family and friends. Then I think, what did God originally intend these to be used for and to look like? There is a Hebrew word for this, teshuvah, which basically means to return to God's original intention. Maybe this harvest is the time to be truly thankful for what God has entrusted to us. To see what is in our hands and to see God's original intention for that and how it can bless others in our communities and around the world. In a time when harvest and abundance appear in short supply, may we in the UK church be the people of God's grace and his amazing provision of most evident. This harvest, let's remember that he can do more than we can ever ask or imagine, and ask him to reveal his teshuvah for our lives and all he has blessed us with. It's amazing where God leads us. Arthur and I are amazed that we're actually stood up here doing this morning. 12 months, 18 months ago, we wouldn't have been here. We'd have been running down the street away somewhere. But God leads us on a path, and I just like to share with you a little bit of that path that Arthur and I have walked on. We got involved in Oldham Food Bank back in January, and the reason we did is because we felt God was telling us to obey his word. Not just read it, but to obey it, to live our lives obeying his word. We heard about the Trussell Trust, which has founded the network of food banks nationwide. We did a square mile pilot, which some of you now are doing each week. You're following that course. This course talks about the community in the square mile where your church is or where you live, not just where you are. It speaks to us about being salt and light in the community. And it speaks to us about being an influence as Christians, not in our churches, but in our communities where we live and work. And the Food Bank Project really spoke to Arthur and I that this was something that we should get involved in. Reading the truth in the Word and going out and living our lives as Jesus tells us is very scary. You are called to make some very hard choices and decisions when you take that route. And we were very happy. Well, we still are very happy in Roman Road Fellowship. We love it. And we were very comfortable in the activities that we're involved in. The prayer ministry that we do, the accounts and the offertory and various other things. But those things only brought us into contact with fellow Christians in this fellowship. It didn't challenge the way we were spending our time outside of this building or this fellowship, or how we interacted with the community out there, outside. In fact, we didn't interact at all with the community outside. We connected with church, with Christians, with family, with friends, but not the person in the street. Nothing to do with us. Matthew 25 really spoke to Arthur and I. It challenges in verse 35, says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in." It goes on when the crowd ask, "When did I do these things, Lord?" And Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me." That is a huge challenge. I've always believed in God's promises. I do firmly, strongly believe, this is my faith, that he will be with me, because it says so in the word. He will always be with me. He will give me his peace, and he will hear me when I pray. But just as those words are true, so the words in Matthew 25 are, and we couldn't carry on ignoring them. So, serving the community at the food bank gives us an opportunity to share the love of Jesus with the people who come in, who are in great distress. And believe you me, they are hungry. People come in who haven't eaten for days. And you can tell they haven't eaten for days. They're grey. And this is people who are walking the streets of Oldham. Not in a far off country, not a third world country. It's in Oldham, in Failsworth. And by sharing the love of Jesus with those people, we are, I believe, bringing glory to God. Thank you. Arthur's going to tell you about the food bank and how it works and what's going on.
You see, most of you have seen the DVD that we played 3 months ago, something like that. And the idea basically is, as a food bank, we collect food from different sources, from churches, supermarkets, schools, you name it, wherever we collect it from. We collect it, and then we are an emergency food bank, which we will give up to a maximum of a 3-day food pack, depending on the size of the family. And after 3 days, if they still need another one, they will come back with another voucher. But they're all, as it says here, all clients are referred to by a frontline care agency. We're not where people can just come and take the food. They've got to be sent by somebody and have the voucher so that we hopefully know that they are genuine cases. This, we thought, was going to be just a small, see one or two a day, something like that. And this is how it did start. But let me give you some facts now, that which has just come off our computer. Since we opened in May, we have fed 754 people. When it was 705, there's 520 adults and 185 children. We have received in food 10,131 kilograms, and we've given out 7,095. In September, we received 925 kilograms. We gave out 1,362. This month so far, which is harvest, and this is so wonderful, because harvest is really, there's so many churches joined together with us, seeing the vision, and they've joined in, both churches and also schools. We've been to so many school assemblies, and we've been gobsmacked. Well, before I carry on, let me read you this bit. This is what the children did at two of the assemblies that went to. It's called Cauliflowers Fluffy. Cauliflowers Fluffy and cabbages green, strawberries sweeter than any I've seen. Beetroots purple and onions white, all grow steadily day and night. The apples are ripe and the plums are red. The broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. Blackberries are juicy and rhubarb sour, marifat fattening hour by hour. Gooseberries airy and lettuce is fat, radishes round and runner beans flat. The apples are ripe and the plums are red. The broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. Orangey carrots and turnips cream, reddening tomatoes that used to be green, brown tomatoes and little heaps, brown potatoes, sorry, and little heaps, down in the darkness where the celery sleeps. The apples are ripe and the plums are red. The broad beans are sleeping in their blankety bed. Yeah. And this really struck us home, that the children know at their age that it's not something, it's something that is with us, and they must have seen it in their own schools. It really shows to us. So the harvest, we hope that the Trussell Trust said that in the harvest, a third of our food for the year should come at harvest. And I think we've had up to about 2.5 tonnes, but we're working out that that will last us possibly till Christmas or early in the new year. So it's gone from being a small little something that we could do in our spare time with being retired to being, it's really showed us how much there is a need for it. Whereas 5 years ago there was probably 20 food banks, there's now over 250 in this country. It's growing, 2 or 3 a week. There's going to be one in Rochdale shortly, there's going to be one in Bury. They're going over into Yorkshire now. It's growing and growing. And unfortunately, Oldham Council have been in touch with us, and they have been very good with us, and they've assisted us with the rent in the shop. We get it for a peppercorn rent. But they know that next year, a lot of the things are going to change. It's going to change for the worse. A lot of their income is going to be changed. And Oldham Council know roughly what's going to happen, but it's going to be that there's going to be a lot more need in the next 12 months than there is in this. So they're coming to us now and asking us how they can help us. Isn't that wonderful? So this is just to finish. This is one out of the Hope book, and it's from a project in Hillingdon, which opened 2 years ago. And these are some of the people that they've helped. A project manager whose team member committed suicide. He got sacked and had nothing. A six-year-old British national who emigrated to live in the US for 40 years and was deported with nothing after his partner died. The food bank helped with food and clothes. A returning soldier from Afghanistan, hungry for 48 hours and separated from his family. A family who lost their home in a fire and needed emergency food. A family who lost their business due to the economic situation. Several people going through relationship and family problems. Individuals going through adjustment periods to bereavement. Several people waiting for or turned down for crisis loans and about to go hungry. Several professionals made redundant and trying to get new jobs and waiting for their finances. Several single mums who were choosing between paying the bills and feeding their children. Families with children struggling on one income or low income, and people in debt and almost giving up were supported by a food supply. There are so many different areas that we're looking at. We feed the homeless as well. We feed drug addicts, people with different problems. We can't judge. It's not up to us to judge. So I'd just like to finish now with Matthew 10, and it's the compassion of Jesus. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of his harvest to send the labourers into his harvest." Thank you. Could have been...